I think most Christians struggle with contentment. Now, ironically, most churches struggle with being too content. And I think that stems from the fact that a lot of people in churches today are not obsessed with Jesus. So one of the reasons that I am doing this particular series is because I feel like I should lay out for you what we want for you. It's not to just like Jesus. It is to become like Jesus. I relate to the story of the mom washing dishes, looking out the window into the backyard, and there's her son reading his Bible to the family cat. She thinks, how sweet is that? I'm not going to disturb him. A few moments later, she hears this terrible screeching sound. She looks out the window, and there's the boy trying to put the cat into a bucket of water. She says, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to baptize the cat. But son, cats don't like water. Well, he should have thought of that before he joined my church. You see, it's just responsible to let people know, if they're going to be a part of a church, what the expectations actually are. So understand very clearly that the goal for me is not to just get you in here to like Jesus. The goal is, while we are in here, to learn about, love one another, go from here becoming like Jesus. The problem is that a lot of people think that if they receive good information, that it's going to guarantee transformation. That's not always true. We learn the cliches, we wear the necklaces, we like Jesus, but are we becoming like Jesus? I remember the story of a bunch of kids from the city that went out to a Bible camp in the country for a week. Now, most of these kids had never been out in the country, and they're on a nature hike. After a couple of miles, the leader stops and he says, okay, kids, let's see what you know about the woods. Do you know what is small and furry, has a big bushy tail, and climbs trees? And kids looked at him just with blank stares on their faces. Well, come on, kids. You know this. It's what's small, furry, big, bushy tail, climbs trees, stores nuts for the winter. Finally, a little boy said, I think it's a squirrel, but I know I'm supposed to say Jesus. We learn to spout out and repeat the cliches. That's why we need to stop being a Christian and start following Jesus. Last week, we talked about worship, and I called that follow up. And next week, we're going to talk about service, follow through. But today, I want to talk to you about follow around. Why is community essential in producing real followers of Jesus Christ? I want you to write this down on your sermon sheet inside the bulletin. Fellowship is relational. When Jesus said, follow me, he was not recruiting guerrilla warriors. He was building a platoon. He did not say, I will build a bunch of Christians. He said, I will build my church. Listen very closely. Jesus never said, all you need is a personal relationship with God. Because following Jesus is a team sport. There is not an example in the gospel where Jesus gave private discipling lessons. Now, he talked to people in private, the woman at the well, Nicodemus. But once you became a follower, you joined a club. There is not an example in the gospels where Jesus sent anybody on an individual assignment. Fellowship demands fellowship. If you are going to do life with Jesus, You need to do life like Jesus. And Jesus lived in community. Now think about this. If there was ever a person who could do life well with God, just God, it would have been Jesus. But that is not how he did life. And that is a very hard sell in a culture that idolizes individualism. Even though we have more ways to communicate than ever before, we are more isolated than ever before. Just walk into a restaurant, even today, and notice how many people, even families sitting around a table, will be staring at their phone. A few years ago, Google published this database of books printed from 1500 to the year 2008. This is Rebecca Maxwell's wish list. It's literally 5 million books plus. So this journalist from the New York Times did some research on what words have become more popular or less popular in the last 50 years of publishing. So here's what he noticed. The words that have become more popular are all about individualism. Words like self-actualization, personalized. Words that have become less popular in the last 50 years are communal words, community, share, common good. The second thing he noticed is that there has been a marked decline in the last 50 years of words that promote moral virtue. Words like modesty, honesty, patience, wisdom, even evil. So here's what he wrote. New York Times, this is not a Christian article. So the story I'd like to tell is this, that over the past half century, society has become more individualistic. As it has become more individualistic, it has also become less morally aware because social and moral fabrics are inextricably linked. That's a secular journalist saying, we cannot become a more decent society, a more noble society, if we stay on this path of growing further and further apart from each other. Now, that manifests itself in the church, in the I love Jesus, I just don't love the church attitude that you hear all the time these days. You see Facebook posts, you see blog articles, open letters declaring, I just had to leave the church to become more spiritual. Here's the problem with that. Jesus did not come to promote spirituality. He came to build a society that he called the kingdom of God. That's why he was a lover, not a loner. And if you're going to imitate Jesus, you can't isolate from people and then boast about how spiritual you are getting. From the very start, followers of Jesus understood his invitation as a communal invitation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. In other words, the moment you became a Christian, that's what you heard. We're going to do life after Jesus with other people. They're not always going to be easy to like or love. It's not one another fellowship unless it is each other fellowship. I know of a young woman who married a man who has a very serious blood disorder. He's had it all of his life. It required him last year to receive a bone marrow transplant. He was in the hospital for months. I want you to hear what she wrote on Facebook, by the way, about this. These are her words, quote unquote. I'm part of that generation that says, I love Jesus, I just don't love the church. That is, until I needed community. If it wasn't for the calls, the texts, the taking care of the kids, and the food, and the encouragement, I would not have made it through this. I learned how important it is And I hope that this experience will help me to do for others what others have done for me. You have to listen. There is no way to follow Jesus without community. And that is what some of you are actually trying to do. You don't stumble into community. Community is intentional. Community is pursued. Community is a deliberate commitment. Look at this verse. It's the very first thing that we know about the early church. I want you to take note of the four priorities of the early Christians. Notice that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, we think doctrine is important. We believe communion is important. We believe prayer is important. Isn't it interesting that we think that three of those things are non-negotiable for the church, but the other is optional? Well, they did not. Look at how this verse reads from the Message. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. We all know that you can't be at church and not be in church. The gathered does not always equal the connected. It has to be more than just attending. It has to be intending. It's not just a meeting. It is meeting for the purpose of one anothering. So I just want to ask you, do you have community? Not asking if you come to Sunday school or come to Wednesday night Bible study. You should. That's a given. Do you have community? With whom do you follow around? Now, I'm going to give you two easy questions to help you answer that. Here is the first one. Write this down. Am I caring for anyone? Because most of what we call fellowship in the modern church is not talking about the weather before service in the foyer. It's not talking about how great the Packers are, however true of a statement that may be. There's a powerful word used over 100 times in the New Testament. It's translated encourage. That is not a strong enough translation because it literally means come along beside. It's the word that Jesus used for the Holy Spirit. So when you encourage, you are partnering with the Holy Spirit to help somebody get where they are trying to go following Jesus. Remember, Jesus didn't say anything about a right to privacy in his kingdom. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. It means you get nosy. You get into other people's messes. Nobody here is going to disagree with me that we ought to love people. We all agree that we should love everybody in principle. But who are you loving in particular? With whom is one another stuff happening? When you came to Christ, that very same day, you got ordained by the Holy Spirit to the ministry of maturing, helping people be like Jesus. That's why the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Acting in love towards others is how we get right with God. A lot of folks think that they need to get their act together before they can be used by God. You've got that backwards. You need to act in love toward others, and that's how you get your act together. That's why John says in 1 John chapter 4, if someone says, I love God, but they hate a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people that we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? So I didn't ask if you come to Sunday school or Wednesday night Bible study. You should. But if you are not caring for somebody, If you are not investing in somebody, you do not have community. And you do not have community if you are not letting others invest in you as well. So the second question I want to ask this morning is this. Am I sharing about anything? Because it's not community if you are unwilling or unable to be honest about what's really going on in your life, both the good and the bad. Now, I realize sometimes you are willing, but you are not in a context where it is safe to do that. Your follow me will be stunted if you don't have any relationships where you can be real. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Listen very closely. You cannot deny yourself if you never disclose yourself. Jesus is building a new kind of society. Now, out there, it is a culture of achievement. Out there, everybody's keeping score. Out there, everybody's passing out grades. Out there, everybody's making a list of who are the winners and who are the losers. But we are a culture of grace. We are all broken. We are all flawed. That's why we confess our sins to each other. We pray for each other so that we can get better, be healed. And listen, that kind of sharing doesn't happen in rows. It happens in circles where we follow around. So we need to care about each other's weaknesses. We need to carry each other's burdens. And we need to know about each other's victories. Because sometimes what keeps me following Jesus is just hearing about how alive God is in your life. And I know you're thinking, well, that kind of vulnerability, that just does not come naturally to me. It doesn't come naturally to anybody. The flesh is natural. The flesh is always self-absorbed, self-protected. It takes supernatural empowering to live with people like that. And don't you know that when you signed up to follow Jesus, you signed up for a supernatural life? And God is going to help you overcome your flesh. That's why it says in Romans chapter 5 that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. So the way we another shows the world that we're following a Savior like no other. Following around is the way that Jesus wants the gospel to be spread around the world. John chapter 13. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Notice that he did not say that we will be known as his disciples if we have doctrinal correctness. Now, it is important to have correct doctrine. The world does not recognize doctrinal correctness. The world doesn't even recognize moral holiness because it has no standard by which to judge things. Jesus says there is one thing that you can leverage. One another. Because the world recognizes a love story. I was reminded of that a while back when I saw a story that I could tell you about, but it'd be a lot more powerful if you just see this for yourself. Look up at the screen and watch this video. So I'll be honest. I honestly don't know if A.J. McCarron, the quarterback for Crimson Tide, if he's a believer or not. I think he is, but I'm not sure. And I do know that ESPN, where this originally aired, is not existing to promote Christian virtues and morals. But I also know this, that someone once said, it is not good for man to be alone. There is a universal longing to be a part of a family, to be connected, to know that I matter to someone else. Jesus said, go all over the world and do that. Do people better than anybody has ever seen it done, and then they'll know who it is that you're following. Now, there are all kinds of ways that you can respond to this sermon. Some of you need to go sit out in your car right after the service and send a text to someone and simply say, I am sorry. Some of you need to make a phone call this afternoon and you need to say, I forgive you. Some of you need to invite that person you just met out to lunch. Some of you need to stop sitting on the fringe and you need to plug into this church. Some of you need to come and you need to confess Christ. You need to be baptized and you need to join a new society. Some of you, you just need to say, you know what? I have been carrying this load and I have been too proud to even talk about it. But everybody needs to respond. Stop messing around. Start following around. So let's all stand up. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I'm done praying, we're going to worship, and you are going to respond.